Welcome back to Motherload Views. I'm PJ Hansen, your host. We're joined in studio by Republican Congressman Tom McClintock, who represents District 4, which covers the Motherload and the Sierra Nevada region. Congressman McClintock, next thing I want to ask you about is the House Natural Resources Committee. That's a committee that has a lot of impact on issues around the Sierra Nevada. You know, when it comes to water and forestry, what is kind of being looked at and debated right now?
Well, the frustrating thing is we've passed comprehensive legislation on forest health. The Resilient Federal Forests Act passed the House this past year. It allows us to start managing our forests according to sound scientific management principles rather than the current policy that can only be described as benign neglect. And I know we've talked about this, BJ, many times before on your show. We have seen an 80% decline in timber harvested out of the federal forests in the Sierra Nevada over the past 30 years. And in the same period, we've seen a concomitant increase in acreage destroyed by forest fire. We now have about four times the tree density in the Sierra that the land can support, which means the trees are badly stressed. And in that overstressed condition, they can't resist the natural threats of drought, pestilence, disease, and ultimately catastrophic wildfire. Restoring the ability to go in there and thin these forests so that the trees have plenty of room to grow healthy and strong is absolutely essential to restoring the health of our forests. At the same time, we've seen catastrophic increases in the cost of fighting these fires because they've become so much more intense. And that drains away funds available for forest fire prevention. That is called fire borrowing, but that problem is fixed in the Resilient Federal Forest Act. So we've got a comprehensive package that went over to the Senate last year. It's not the first time the House has passed this bill. We passed it in the prior Congress as well. But unfortunately, these bills go over to the Senate and then are stopped dead by the Senate's cloture rule. The Senate's cloture rule gives the Senate minority the ability to block any legislation from even being taken up and considered until you can get 60 votes for it. That's an outrageous perversion of the debate rules of the Senate, but that's what it has devolved into. I place the blame for that on the Senate Republicans. That is a choice they have made not to reform that cloture rule, which then gives the Senate Democrats, the minority in the Senate, the ability to block good legislation. And one of the bills that they have been consistently blocking is the Resilient Federal Forest Bill. We were able to get provisions of that. I actually had a Tahoe restoration bill, which includes a number of provisions to allow us to go back and start managing our forests again in the Tahoe Basin. I was able to get that into the water bill a year ago, December. That authority now exists and is being used by the Forest Service to expedite the treatment of the forests in the Tahoe Basin, which suffer a similar overcrowding problem. Regional forester told me that takes their environmental assessment from 800 pages down to 40 pages. It allows them to get in there and start clearing out excess timber before it can die and burn. So we're able to get that through, but we've got to get it comprehensively for the Sierra, and that's going to require either the Senate Democrats to get out of the way or the Senate Republicans to come to their senses and reform their cloture rules so the bill can be taken up and sent to the president for signature.
Getting that bill through the Senate, have you heard anything like from Dianne Feinstein? It seems like if she got on board with something like that, it would get through quickly.
Well, she was actually very helpful with the provisions we got in the Tahoe bill, but she has so far not been willing to take up the broader crusade for forest management.
How do you feel about the higher level, the cabinet positions? Do you think the issue of forest health is on the front burner, or is understood at least from in Washington, D.C.?
Oh, I know it is, because I've had a number of conversations with Tony Took, who's the manages the National Forest Service. I had actually worked with him previously on our timber salvage bill. If you remember, a few years ago, I had legislation that proposed the very simple notion that once a fire has gone through and killed a forest, we ought to then at least be able to salvage the dead timber while it still has economic value, and then use that money to replant the forest. That had heavy environmental opposition and ultimately, again, died in the Senate. But Tony Took was instrumental in assisting us in developing that legislation. So he understands the importance of sound forest management. His boss is Secretary Perdue. I've had a conversation with him on this subject. He is very much on board. And Ryan Zinke at Interior, same thing, clearly understands the problem and is determined to address it.
You know, we haven't talked too much about the pulse flows at places like New Melones over the past year with the heavy precipitation last winter, but is that still something that's being looked at closely and potentially being looked at for changes?
It needs to be. In fact, I was just reading about Cape Town, South Africa, that has had several years now of severe drought. They are about to run out of water completely. I mean, to the point where there will simply not be water available. And we ought to take that as a serious warning. I mean, this is a major internationally acclaimed city, and they're about to run out of water because they did not take adequate means to store the water from wet years so they'd have plenty in dry years. We're suffering the same problem here in California, and we just went through the last 5 years, 6 years now. I think we've had a clear object lesson in why it's important to store water. We know that droughts are going to happen. They have happened all throughout history. That's nature's fault. But water shortages are our fault, and that continues to be a major concern of mine in our region.
Changing the subject a little, what was your reaction to the brief government shutdown this past week, and how do you feel moving forward in issues like DACA and the border wall and preventing another shutdown in another couple weeks?
Well, it's not complicated. Negotiations had been ongoing into issues of immigration and border security and budget caps and other issues as we approached the January 19th funding deadline. The House passed a four-week continuing resolution so the negotiations could continue. What happened? Senate Democrats blocked the bill from being taken up once again by abusing the cloture rule. So the government shut down. But I do think that people got an important lesson here. You remember the 2013 shutdown. It did enormous damage to our businesses, to our gateway communities, because the Obama administration directed the Park Service to make life miserable for people. You remember what they did. They barricaded entrances. They forced businesses to close. They canceled people's long-standing reservations. I think we demonstrated the difference with this shutdown. The Yosemite entrances remained open. Vendors continued to do business. So at least we now have an administration that has our backs and isn't at our throats.
Yeah, I think people definitely appreciated being able to go into Yosemite, and especially people that had those reservations. You know, what's your feelings on...
I think people need to reflect on the damage that was done in 2013, and it was all intentional damage done by the Obama administration for political gain. It was completely unnecessary. It was not required by the law. This administration from the outset said, we're going to do everything we can to protect people, and they did.
The big issue kind of lingering that ties to this is the immigration reform. What would you like to see done in that regard?
Well, we have to fix DACA. About half of these young people came to the country under the age of 14. So this is really the country they've known. They're now in their 20s. But we can't fix that until we secure our borders, or we're just inviting a new wave of illegals bringing their children. And clearly that's where the American people stand. So the Democrats want to make DACA permanent, but they also want to continue chain migration. They have opposed any kind of meaningful border security. As I said, we want to fix DACA, but we can't do that without first securing our borders.
Need to take one more break. We're talking with Congressman Tom McClintock on this weekend's Motherlode Views. Motherlode Views is brought to you by Nate's Tree Service, where no job is too big or too small. We'll continue with our final segment in just a minute.